You know what's awesome about today is that we're not done singing. We're singing longer today, or singing more. So we're going to be singing for those of you who just love the worship, the singing, and that's such an important place for you to experience God. We're going to have some more singing at the end of the service. So, and can we give it up for this band? So good. So I don't know if you know this, but Thanksgiving is in 4 days. How many of you are prepared or feel like you have a plan for Thursday? How many of you are just hearing about this right now? Right? Yeah. So Thanksgiving is just 4 days away. And I wanted for us to get a little real about Thanksgiving and what Thanksgiving can often be like for those of us sitting around the table, kind of like what we would like for Thanksgiving to be, but what actually happened. So there's no place better to go than the family, the Heck family in the middle, and their experience with Thanksgiving. So this caveat, everyone, this clip is rated R for real, because there's a little language in it. Just gonna say. All right, can we show that clip, Ben?
Okay, that's them. Quick, everybody put your flag pins on. Well, hello there. Wow, we got a couple of good ones. Hi, I'm Frankie Heck.
Corporal Hank Martinez.
Sergeant Justin Howard. We can't thank you enough for inviting us into your home, ma'am.
Oh, please. It's the least we could do. You do so much for us. Wow, I love your uniforms, the badges and the stripes. I don't know what they mean, but you must be very brave. Hey, Nancy, just having dinner with America's heroes. Two of them. Happy Thanksgiving.
So the screenplay was turned down by every studio in Hollywood, but Siegel's agent, Howard Minsky of the William Morris Agency.
My son, Brick. It's my other son, Axel. He's just waiting for the iron to heat up so he can press his slacks.
What are slacks?
Get dressed.
Mom, does this say chicken to you?
This is my daughter, Sue. And this is my great aunt Edie, and my parents, Pat and Tag, and my husband, Mike.
You have a very beautiful home, sir.
Well, you've seen too many bombed out cities, but thanks.
So, Corporal, why don't you sit there? And Sergeant, you can sit there. So it'll be Marine, Frankie Marine, like a Marine sandwich. Or we can sit wherever.
Look at this. All poison. I can't eat any of it.
Eat it, don't eat it. Nobody cares.
Hey, you two lovebirds don't mind if I squeeze in here, do you?
Well, shall we get started? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Just wanted to get that out there, you know, where my allegiance lies. So, before we eat, why don't we go around the table and everybody say what they're thankful for? It's kind of our Thanksgiving tradition.
It is?
Since when?
I'll start. Well, I'm thankful for the freedom that you two provide with your guns and stuff. And I have to say, I, for one, have never felt so safe in my own home.
I'm thankful for all my fellow Marines who put themselves in harm's way every day so we can all live and prosper in the greatest country in the world.
I'm thankful that the theme from Love Story hit number 39 on the U.S. music charts.
I'm thankful I'm still running on my own steam.
The hell's that mean? Don't make any sense.
I think I'm allowed to say what I'm thankful for without comments from the peanut gallery.
Well, I'd like to go in a different direction this year and say what I'm not thankful for. I am not thankful for Roosevelt High, specifically the football players at Roosevelt High who cheat at dance fights and steal people's chicken heads. Axel?
Pass.
Aunt Edie?
Merry Christmas!
I'm thankful that's over. Who wants some potatoes?
Wait a minute. I didn't get my turn. I was going to tell a story about how when I was stationed in Korea.
You were a file clerk.
Hey, there's a lot of tension in that office.
I bet being a Marine keeps you busy.
Actually, we just did a recon mission in Afghanistan to recover a downed drone.
Wait a minute. Oh, say there was some sort of top secret object hidden somewhere in Roosevelt High School. Would you two be able to recover it?
Sue, the Marines aren't helping you find your chicken head. It's their day off. So Afghanistan, that must have been so dangerous.
Well, when you're dealing with terrorists, it can get a little sticky.
Oh, the real enemy isn't terrorists. It's refined sugar. Kills a hell of a lot more people than Al-Qaeda ever did.
You don't have to talk everybody's head off all the time. You know, they hide from him at the bank.
You're just jealous because the weight's falling off of me. Somebody here has a love affair with gluten.
Speaking of gluten, you guys like football? Because my son here's got a big game tomorrow.
I don't even want to talk about the game. Why do we have to talk about the game?
I think I have a pretty good idea of where it is. If we go in at nightfall, I think that would be best. But I don't have to go if you think I'm just going to get in the way. I could be sitting in a nearby van talking you through it over headphones.
It was a moonless night. I was stationed in Korea. And my boot came untied.
Everyone's heard the story, Tag. You tell it every Thanksgiving.
The Marines haven't heard it.
Yes, they have. You've told that story so many times, it's gone all the way around the world, and even they have heard it.
You know, if you got some sleep, you wouldn't need to crank it.
And whose fault is that? You took my side of the bed.
I told you many times. It's different here. The bed's turned around.
I think I know how to sleep.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! You had your first date on St. Patrick's Day, and Dad wanted to take you to the movies, but he got lost, and you thought it was so funny. And you ended up down by Lake Monroe, and you were hungry, so Mom shared her saltines from her purse, and you were both worried because the crackers made your mouth dry, and you thought your first kiss was going to be disastrous. But it wasn't, because you kissed, and you felt the earth move, and you knew you were supposed to be together because you loved each other. Damn it!
They've been through war, and they couldn't even make it to Pi.
For how many of you does that feel autobiographical? Does that feel familiar? How many of you, that's purely fictional? Nothing like those characters at your table? Nice, nice. I don't know if you caught the last line, but Frankie said, these Marines have been through war and they couldn't make it through Pi, right? Because it was so awkward and weird. And it was just... a nightmare, right, at the table. You know, it's really kind of fun to watch it when someone else's family sort of blows up, right? On TV, not in real life, right? But it's kind of fun to see someone else's family be awkward and blow up and try to navigate the awkwardness of the holidays. But it's not so funny when it's our family, right? When it's our issues on display. And still, most of us have an idea of what we think Thanksgiving should look like, what we want it to be, right? How many of you do the gratitude around the table or at some point on Thanksgiving Day where you go around and say what you're thankful for? How many of your situations have turned into some variety or shape or form like that, right? Right? We have this ideal of this beautiful, meaningful moment of sharing gratitude, and it can easily go awry. It can go off the rails. So whether you're really looking forward to Thanksgiving and sitting at the table and eating yummy food filled with gluten or not, or whether you're trying to get yourself psyched up for the holidays, starting with Thanksgiving, I believe that God has a word for you today. And I believe he has a word for me today as we prepare for Thanksgiving. There's a verse that many of you may be familiar with. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is the Apostle Paul saying it. He says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I kind of have a love-hate relationship with that verse. Paul doesn't say that God's will is for us to give thanks for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. And the thing about gratitude, the thing about being thankful, about practicing giving thanks, is that sometimes it flows easily, and sometimes it's really fought for. We have to fight for it. So this morning, we're going to take an unlikely look at a passage that's about gratitude. And as we prepare for, we're going to prepare for practicing gratitude here in a few minutes, and we're even going to have an open mic. So there may be some things that are percolating within you that we may get to hear about. So we're going to be in Psalm 77 today, and we are going to read it only in English today. So we're going to start, it's in your handout. You can follow along there or look on the screen or just close your eyes and hear the words. And we're going to break it up in two parts. So Psalm 77, starting in verse 1. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated, and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? So what is those verses? What do those verses say about gratitude? Nothing. Nothing yet. Nothing. Instead, the author cries out to God for help. How many of you, you don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you right now feel this way, where you cry out to God and he's not responding? You remember maybe at one point when he did, but he's not responding right now, and you're like, where are you? The author here, the psalmist, is crying out to God, and he feels like all he's getting is rejection, that God has forgotten him. He says it. I'm not saying it. He's saying it here. If you haven't felt that way yet, you will feel that way at some point. The thing about gratitude is that we start where we are. So if you're in a struggling place this morning, if you can identify with the psalmist here and you can say, Lord, I don't feel you. I feel like you're far away. I feel like you're not hearing me. Start there. The misnomer is that in church is that we're supposed to set aside what's hard and just focus on the positive. Or even when it comes to Thanksgiving Sunday, we set aside the hard stuff and we just kind of focus on the positive, that toxic positivity that we talked about last week. But that's not what we see here in Scripture. We see that we are called and invited to start where we are. We start where we are, and we invite God into this space. The invitation is to get it all out before the Lord. So I want to give you just a moment. I went super deep, super fast, right? Just give you a moment and just kind of get in touch with yourself. Where are you this morning? How's your heart? How's your mind? How's your body? So just sit in the space just for a moment. I'm going to give you a few seconds of quiet, and then we'll keep going. And now invite God into that space. He already knows how you're doing. Invite him into the space that you're in. On Friday night, I had the privilege to go to a book signing, and David and Christy House Howard were there. Bob Cutillo, I shared about him last week with you. He wrote a book about his wife and her passing, her death, her journey through cancer, and how he's navigated grief and loss. It was beautiful. And you know what? That was Friday night. It was a wonderful night. We were at a brewery, and he has this amazing book launch, and then he gets up the next day to an empty house, right? And I came across this quote, and I thought of Bob, and I thought of the invitation for us, for you and me in this passage, and for you and me during Thanksgiving. If you could put it on the screen, it's in your handout too. It says, two roads diverge at the point of pain. One toward gratitude and joy, the other toward self-pity and bitterness. The first is the road less traveled. The second is an 8-lane freeway that cuts through every generation, every nation, every tribe, every political party, and every family. It is the primary thoroughfare of the human heart. And those who travel it feel justified by its heavy traffic. I just was introduced to this author, Ben Palpont. When the yucky stuff hits the fan, that was my rated G way of saying that. When the yucky stuff hits the fan, we are at a point. We are at a point to choose. I'm not saying the choice is easy. The choice most often will be really, really hard. If left to our own devices, we choose the path of self-pity and bitterness because it is so easy. I don't know about you, but in my heart, the path to bitterness is a well-worn rut. It's like it so easily gets to that point. But the invitation, the call, is to choose and fight for gratitude. In those moments where God, like we just read, where God feels absent or far away, the real danger is to allow these feelings to turn to a belief, to become a belief that God is not loving, that he does not care, that he has rejected us or has abandoned us. I think it's a gift that the psalmist acknowledges how he feels. He puts it all out there. He starts with where he is. The psalmist shows us that we can bring it all to God. We can bring the pain. We can bring the questions, the unknowns, the hurt, and the anger. And it's super important for us to start there. And it's also super important for us not to stay there. So let's keep reading and see what the psalmist says. Verse 10 in Psalm 77. Then I thought, to this I will appeal. See how he's talking to himself here? To this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. These are the words of the Lord. These verses are an interesting shift from the first nine. Do you see that? And I sense that these words that the psalmist wrote didn't flow easily. It's not like a flip was switched or a switch was flipped. That's what it's called. Switch was flipped, right? And he's just like, oh, I'm happy now. No, he started with where he was, and then he was at that point, that fork in the road. And what did he choose? He chose to remember and name God's faithfulness and God's goodness. These words were fought for. The Message paraphrase in verse 11 says, once again, I'll go over what God has done, lay out on the table the ancient wonders. So when it feels like God has left the building, the psalmist sits down and remembers what God has done. He remembered those times when gratitude flowed easily, when his heart was filled with praise. He remembers the pivotal story of God's faithfulness when he led his people out of Egypt and miraculously parted the Red Sea. He wrote it out point by point by point by point. And then at the end of this fight for gratitude, you can kind of see this fight happening internally within him, this fighting for gratitude. The psalmist concludes that God is like a good shepherd who leads his flock. So we see here, the psalmist shows us where to start, how to start with where we are, and how to move towards a place of gratitude, how to fight for a thankful heart, moving from an honest place of confession to remembering what God has done and what this tells us about who God is right now. When I was younger, I'm young now, so it's just a few years ago. No, it's not funny. No, I'm kidding. No, but a writer spoke to me a lot. His name was Francis Schaeffer. He was very formative in my college years, and he said this. He said, the beginning of man's rebellion against God was and is the lack of a thankful heart. That's a tough one, right? That's tough. The beginning of man's rebellion from God was and is the lack of a thankful heart. We see this all throughout Scripture. The Bible focuses so much on thankfulness that we kind of get this sneaky suspicion that we're hardwired to self-destruct without it. He talks about it so much because it's so hard. We're hardwired to self-destruct if we stop giving thanks. Thanksgiving, sometimes when it flows easily or when it's something we fight for, it's how the people of God navigate living this in this world as it is, not as we would have it, but how we navigate living in this world, in the good times and the bad times, in the mundane and the momentous, in all of it, in all of it. The thing about gratitude is that sometimes it flows easily and sometimes it's fought for. So this morning we're going to practice gratitude together. First, you're going to practice and reflect privately. And then we're going to hear from one another for a few minutes at the open mic. And then we'll conclude with worship, with more singing. So to help you practice gratitude, I have a tool here. If you've been around Celebration for a few years, this is a tool that we've often used in the past. It's called the Wheel of Life. So I want you to pull it out. There's a table over there with them. And I think, raise your hand if you didn't get one, and they'll help you. And there's really fun colored markers to make this experience even more fun for you, right? Because colored markers are fun. So the Wheel of Life is an assessment tool, and it divides up your life into different categories, like career, family and friends, community, finances, romance, intimacy, health and self-care, social, fun, personal, spiritual development, and your physical environment. And so what I'd like for you to do, we're going to go through this pretty quickly. You have about 3 minutes to do this, right? And the question I have as you go through your Wheel of Life is to ask, how grateful do you feel in each area? If you feel really grateful, then you color up that whole little pie section of your wheel. If you don't feel grateful, and nobody's going to see this, everybody's looking at their own wheel. If you don't feel grateful or things are really tough, then just color in nothing or just a little bit. So we're just going to do a little gratitude assessment. Sorry, great question. So there's two of them. I want you to, you're going to do the one that says your Wheel of Life. That's on the back. The front is a sample, an example. Great question. I'm so glad you asked that. So the back is your Wheel of Life. And so, again, you have about 3 minutes. This is don't go too deep. Stuff like this, I just get really deep with, and it slows me down. Just do a quick fill it in. And again, the gratitude level. How grateful are you in each of these areas? And then we'll come back and reflect for a little bit together. So if we could play some music, Ben. And then we'll come back together here in a sec. And as you're looking at it, I want you to see pick one category. Which category does gratitude flow easily? Where you're like, oh, there's just so much goodness that I see in this area. I feel content. It's easy to be grateful. and then pick an area where gratitude is something to fight for here. It's not easily found. There's hurt. There's unanswered prayer. There's uncertainty. There's fear. And when you land on a particular area, show God. Say, God, this is how I feel. I'm scared. I'm bitter. Ask him to help you see his presence and faithfulness in that particular area. The thing about gratitude is that sometimes it flows easily and sometimes it's fought for. So we can turn the music off, Ben. Thank you. We're going to open up the mic here. And I invite you to come forward. Again, be brief. You have an amazing life story. I don't doubt it, but we don't have time to hear it this morning. So be brief. We want to hear from you. Where have you seen the goodness of God? Where is your heart overflowing with gratitude? And or where is it a struggle this morning? And I'm going to start, as anybody, if you want to come on up to the microphone. We have just a few minutes. And I wanted to share, it's a both and. It's super grateful and just deeply sad. And it's more of an announcement. But many of you know our dear brother, Les Avery, who has been on staff here. He's been a pastor in the Metro Denver area for decades. Jenny Savig is his daughter. And yesterday morning, our dear brother passed away. So he was 93, I think, 94. And he was a cyclist who was still riding his bike and competing in races in his late 80s. Early 90s, the guy was a stud who loved Jesus and who was familiar with heartbreak. And so I'm super grateful. He was a mentor to me. He was a mentor to a lot of us. Super grateful for him and sad this morning. So I invite you to pray for Stuart and Jenny and just the whole Avery Savig family as they're grieving. And they're not here this morning, but they said they were watching online. And so we love you guys and we're praying for you. And we don't know any details yet, but as we do, I'll let you know about a service. So 93, right? Pretty cool. All right, I want to open up the microphone for somebody else. I'd love to hear from you. Come on up. When you get the microphone, hold it close and say your name.
Good morning. I'm Caitlin. So before, many years ago, before I found Christianity, gratitude was part of my practice, but it often felt shallow. Kind of like finishing the plate on your food because there's starving children in Africa kind of thing. I would say one of the things I'm the most grateful for in my adult life now is that when I cannot be thankful for anything, I am thankful for Jesus. I am thankful for his blood and his life and the sacrifice that he made for me. And sometimes that's enough. Thank you.
Amen. So good. Thanks, Caitlin. Scarlett loves the microphone. She does not. She never does this. I love it. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So long-time attender, first-time caller. So something that has been easy for me to be grateful for, I don't know, for those of you who are parents, if you have at least one child, then, you know, maybe one of them is, you know, you never know, like, is it going to be hard? Is it going to be easy? Sometimes it's both, sometimes it's neither. But to see one of your children praising God publicly, like, There's not enough words of gratitude to express what it is to see one of the people that you made publicly leading the congregation to the throne of grace. I am thankful for that.
Amen. So good. All right. John's coming up with his new fashion accessory.
I just had back surgery 5 days ago, and I'm grateful that it went well and that we have skilled surgeons, and great hospitals, but I'm most grateful for my family. I have to go through at least 6 to 12 weeks of no bending or twisting or lifting. And it is such a dependent position to be in. And it's just so hard. And my family's been so gracious at doing everything for me and yelling at me when I am not complying with my doctor's orders, because it just comes so natural. I mean, it's just amazing how hard it is not to do those things. So anyway, I'm very, very grateful for my family, my church, and a gifted hospital and surgical team.
Amen. It's comforting that doctors have a hard time following doctor's orders too, right? There's some comfort in that. Thanks, John. All right.
Hello, my name is Grace. I'm thankful for kind souls because I had a tumultuous childhood, and without kind souls like Jill, I don't think I would have made it to where I'm at. Both of my parents have passed. I consider myself an orphan, but I met an amazing husband, and his family, Grandma, has taken me in as their own. And I'm just grateful for the fact that I had people along my path to kind of help me. And it also reminds me to also be a kind soul to help others on their path.
Yeah. Thanks, Grace. Sometime I'm going to have to show a picture of Grace. I have pictures of us when she was 8 years old. She was and is beautiful. She was the cutest 8-year-old on the place. She was the cutest thing ever. Anyone else? Where does gratitude flow easily? When is it? Where is it something you have to fight for? Well, come on up. Say your name.
My name is Rachel. So this is really weird for me.
You're awesome. We're so glad you're here. So glad.
So after many years of struggling with addiction, after finding sobriety and finding God, I'm spending my very first Thanksgiving with my daughter in 11 years.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that's so good. Can I give you a hug? Try to top that, right? Oh, come on, come on. He's going to try. No pressure, no pressure. No, please, come on up.
Yeah, I can't top that one. That is awesome. My name's Chris. I'm a first-time visitor. Thank you. Of the several things I'm thankful for a few years, I got paid to go to like 200 churches a year and recruit pastors to be chaplains. It was pretty amazing. I'm just so thankful that there's little pockets like this church that is real and that just does more than check the box and hit the parking lot before lunch. There's probably a football game, but it does. I don't see any anxiety about that. Pat Benatar said, "Love is a battlefield," and you know, our natural state is disintegration if we do nothing. And if we fight, we stay together. If we fight, we forgive our enemies. If we fight, we give grace to those that don't deserve it, including ourselves. And if we fight, we have mercy. And this is a fighting church. It's cool to see. God bless you.
Extra points for a cultural reference, Pat Benatar. Nicely done. Anyone else? That's right. Is this a recruiting visit? What? Now there's fighting going to happen. That was good, John.
Can I say it?
Sure.
Okay. So Wes and I went to seminary together in, gosh, 100 years ago. And I was the Navy and Marine Corps chaplain recruiter. And Wes came up and said, "I would love to do that." And I was like, "Hey, bro, like, you're kind of heavy and there's like standards." And I just loved his heart. And I was like, "You are amazing. I would love to go to war with you." So flash forward, and some of you know his transition and like hiking the Grand Canyon like 100 times and stuff. And he looks amazing, and I tell him like a year and a half ago or so, I'm like, "Hey, man, you've been an associate pastor at this church forever. two questions for you. One, is Marine Corps still on the table? By the way, I just got back from a Marine Corps birthday ball yesterday in Lubbock. It was phenomenal. And I'm heading to see a Marine at Craig Hospital right now. So I'm like, Jess, you ready to join me? It's been like, I'm sorry, Wes. Wes, you ready to join me? It's been like a long time. And I'm like, if not that, hey, our little church in Wyoming is looking for a new pastor. I kid you not, I flew him up there last year and said, it's not an interview, just come see. And he prayed about it and said, I just really think I'm supposed to stay at Celebration and stay humble and serve. So because you said it, I tried. He loves you guys more.
Chris, we'll take that as your confession, and we forgive you. No, Wes did fill me in on his journey with that. And so, yeah, no, grateful that God has called Wes here. Look at this amazing woman right here. All right.
Hi, I'm Donna. If some of you know, it's been about a year that I've been in this stupid thing. Almost exactly a year. Well, actually, yeah, exactly a year. I'm thankful for the people who see me. Gretchen Sprague, Beth Carlberg, I don't know what I would have done this year without you. You have driven me places faithfully, to infusions, to doctor's appointments, to my job. You have been there. And Caitlin, Scarlett, you guys, you stand by me, you sit by me when John's up in the sound booth. You are there, and you see me. I just appreciate that so much, because it's easy to just think, oh, life's normal now. This is the way it is. And, you know, it's kind of like the widows. Life goes on and we forget. And we forget to check in on people. And I want to acknowledge that I know that people who have lost loved ones are still in pain. I'm talking about you, Beth. I love you. But I've reflected on that a lot lately. It's like when it's been a long time, it becomes normal life for people. And people forget to notice. And actually, Sophia Sauer, she doesn't forget to come and give me a hug every week, and she notices me too. And so I just want to say thank you and appreciate the people who still see me. And I'm still praising God, because I believe this stupid thing's going to be gone someday. And there's still progress being made. And so God's going to make a way.
This is actually for Les's family. You know, there's a few years ago, I've said this before, I had a crisis of faith over why was a good God allow bad things to happen. And I kind of came up with the idea that we're all here to learn how to love, and not just love those that are easy to love, but those who are hard to love. And then when I think we learned enough, then he takes us to heaven and we go on to learn how to love even deeper. And some people, like Les, are asked by God to stay here longer than he needs to be, to teach us how to love. And he's taught me so much on how to love, how to grow old, with grace and dignity. I've been his doctor for many years now, and he's just so wise, and I'm just going to miss him so much. But he's a great man. He had a great family support, and It just the example of love is staggering. Thank you.
I'd like to invite the band to come on up. Anyone else as the band is coming up? One last gratitude. Oh, love it. Come on up. You'll be the last one.
Thank you, Donna, for that. I'm Beth, and it's almost 5 years since John died, and I miss him so much. And, you know, that like romance and intimacy place on there, it's like I'm so grateful for the husband I had and the wonderful marriage I had. And so I know what I'm missing. And like Joe asked, well, are people always trying to set you up? I said, no, you guys are worthless. You know, it's like, you know, I'm not going to go to another church, but you guys could help me out a little or something. So, but there is so much that I'm grateful for. I have a housemate, Liam. We get to, you know, compare notes on dating and how that is not very fulfilling. And then I have some awesome friends here and guys who will do hard bike rides with me and their wives who are glad that they're going out doing hard bike rides with me and not dragging them out. And, you know, who will advise me on things around my house and all of that. And a friend who keeps tabs on me. I will never be one of those that they find 5 days later with a wellness visit or well check, because if I don't get home, like from something, they know it. And or if I'm on a date and they know where I am too. So I have a lot to be grateful for, and I truly am. And yeah, I think that's it. So.
Amen. Amen. I think we had a Thanksgiving service, a gratitude service, right? Amen. Take this with you, this Wheel of Life. Continue it. And let this be a practice for you this week, to practice gratitude, to acknowledge those places that float where gratitude flows easily, and then to invite God into those places where you have to fight for it. Amen. And I don't know if you knew this, but our closing benediction that we close with most Sundays was actually from Les Avery. He's the one who penned it. And it's just become part of our ethos. And so grateful, again, for the many, many ways that he has poured into us. So remember that as you leave this place, that everyone whose path you cross, especially going into the holidays, carries a heavy load. And if you scratch just below the surface, you will find pain, fear, disappointment, bitterness. So be good to yourself this week. Be kind to those you meet. Grab that hand of your Heavenly Father who walks with you, who is with you, and grab the hand of a friend, and in the love of Jesus, go and celebrate. Amen? Amen. Go in peace.